Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. From Luke chapter 18, now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter into it." What could the disciples have possibly thought was more important to Jesus than blessing children? Or maybe, what standards did the disciples have to determine who had access to Jesus and who didn't? I guess maybe is a better thing. Maybe they didn't think that Jesus was too important, but maybe there needed to be some sort of system for access to Jesus. There had to be some sort of regulation for access to Jesus. You know, because his blessings, well, they can't be for just anybody, and certainly not children, because, oh my gosh, they're just, you know kids. They're just all over the place, and they just make a mess of things, and who knows what else. They're not quite up to the task of being blessed by Jesus. So no children should come to Jesus, they said. And what could they have possibly thought? What went through their heads as they were rebuking the women and families who were bringing their children to Jesus? Not just stopping them, but actually saying to them, "No, you guys get on out of here. You shouldn't be bringing children to Jesus. He's got more important things to do than to spend his time doing what you want him to do." And we would think to ourselves, well, yes, of course. You know, certainly that they were, you know, cement-headed and didn't understand what they were doing, and they should have just let, well, wait a minute. What kinds of things do we put in the way for people to come to Jesus? What sort of rules and regulations do we have that put barriers, that prevent people from access to the blessings of Jesus? What do we do that says, well, no, you can't come in here. You're not quite up to it. You're not quite in the right frame of mind. You're not quite this, you're not quite that. You're not meeting all of these rules and regulations. You're too short to ride this ride. You shouldn't come in here. We do that all the time. I don't know if you recognize that, but we do that all the time, not just at a church, but in our own heads. Well, they can't possibly. Who knows? They're so far out there, they couldn't possibly know who Jesus is. Look at the way they're living. Look at what they're doing. Look at how they're acting. They can't possibly. See, we have this picture, this idea, these rules and regulations set up that say if you are to encounter Jesus and be one of his followers, you must look, act, talk, sound, dress, appear like this. We do that, don't we? Even if we're not quite ready to admit it. In our heart of hearts, we know that we have an expectation of a follower of Jesus, that they are going to look and act a certain way. Well, the disciples didn't understand. Not any more than we do, necessarily. See, the disciples had spent that time with Jesus already, and they kind of had in and of themselves this sort of, I don't know, bouncer mentality. They had access to Jesus that others didn't. That they were on the in with Jesus. They knew all of the things. They knew what, and we knew that well, these over here, well, not quite. I mean, they're close, maybe. Maybe they get some of the words right. Maybe they get some of the songs okay, but yeah, and in fact, you know, Jesus, we got this so well, you could just take a break. Jesus, you can go on vacation because we got this, right? We know how to do this Christian thing. We know how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. In fact, Jesus, you know, we thank you for what you did, but we got it from here. We'll take it. We'll do it the way we want to do it. We'll get it all set up. Don't worry, Jesus, we'll make you proud. We'll do it right until we don't. Until the wheels fall off the wagon and our pride, our arrogance makes everything look at us instead of him. See, the disciples wanted to sort of form a wall in front of Jesus, that it was really, you got to come to me first before you can go to him. Because, well, I'm one of his guys, and so I got it all figured out. So really, you don't even need to bother him. Just come to me. And yeah, we do that in the church greatly, but we also do it individually that, well, yeah, I got this thing figured out. Yeah, sometimes I stumble, but we got grace. We got forgiveness. We don't have to worry about that. We got it all taken care of, right? We don't need any. It's nice to have, but we don't really need it. Again, until you do. Jesus was talking with his disciples as the children were coming and being blessed, and he says, well, hey, you know, unless you receive the kingdom as like a child, you don't have any part in this. You don't have any part in the kingdom unless you get down off your high horse. You climb down out of your ivory tower. Unless you get up out of your polished pews and realize that Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for all people. Jesus is for all time, in all places, all languages, all nations, all tribes. The scriptures are very clear about that. Who is Jesus for? Who did he die for? All. The cosmos Jesus died for. Not just those who think they got it all right, or who think they followed the right rules, or think that maybe, well, just maybe I'm good enough that Jesus will love me. The women continued to bring children, even infants, it says, to Jesus so that he might lay his hands on them and bless them. And how important is it for Jesus to bless not just all people, but children too? How important it is for him to know and for us to know what he did on the cross was for them. Even them, even little white Lacey Abigail in her baptismal innocence and beauty, Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood for her. And for that guy you pass on the corner holding the sign, who certainly isn't white and Lacey, and certainly isn't innocent, Jesus died for him too. For everyone. And to receive the kingdom as a child doesn't mean that you have to be baptized as one. Right? That's not the rule. Because that would be a rule and regulation that we would say, well, you didn't get baptized as an infant, so, good luck. No. The oldest person I baptized was 63 years old. He certainly wasn't an infant. The kingdom belongs to him. Just as it belongs to Abigail. Because the kingdom is Jesus's to give to whom he will. And his desire is to give the kingdom to all nations, all people, all tribes, all ages, in all places. And that, you know, that is good news for you and me. Because in our the first part of the gospel reading, Jesus tells that parable of the man who's up there in the temple praying, and he's in his high castle of, I am not like others. I do it all right. I fast even twice a week. I'm more righteous than the righteous. Thankfully, I'm not like that guy over there, that poor, miserable sinner. I, a poor, miserable sinner, need the grace of God, just as you need the grace of God. And thankfully for us today, it's here. His grace is here for you. For you in his word, for you in his fellowship, for you at his altar, for Abigail in the water, grace is here for you, even you. Now you may think you don't need it, but I'll tell you, you do. You may think you don't want it, but I'll tell you, you need it. His grace is here for you today, for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that grace, which is ours through faith, guard and keep us in Christ Jesus and in his one true church, now and always. Amen.